keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario on stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and welcome to the show. We got an awesome show lined up for you here tonight. We're going to have some special guests calling. From Ferguson, California, journalism on trial in Fullerton. We're going to have some live streamers, Patty Beers and Anaheim James are going to call in from InLeague Press. And we're going to talk about what's going on with their case in Fullerton, where they were basically arrested for committing an act of journalism, which now is apparently being viewed as a major crime. You know, they're trying to charge people with up to 6 months in jail for videotaping protests and stuff like that. Anyway, we're going to get to that later on in the show. They're going to call in and they're going to tell us all about what's going on up there, because this is a pretty major case. Because, you know, as everyone knows, when it comes to this, you know, activism and all these movements that are going on, whether we're talking about the Ferguson movement, whether we're talking about the environmental movements going on, the what just went down in Germany against the European Central Bank, you know, we need these live streams to document the raw, you know, the raw actions, so that we have something to go by that's actually unedited, uncut. You know, as opposed to what we get fed by, you know, what we see on CNN. CNN may say, "Oh, terrorists are trying to take over Germany." You know, and the fact of the matter is, these guys are trying to shut down a central bank. And we talked about this in the last show. You know, the central banks are deteriorating the world. They're undermining world economies. They're siphoning money from the working people and funneling it upwards. And, you know, if it weren't for the fact that we have this social media and this live streaming, decentralized media, we wouldn't be able to get a grasp on reality. And that's why this is so important. But anyway, we're going to get to that later on. But first, we got some other crazy news stories, but before we go into that, I am joined by a few special guests here in the studio tonight. I have my special co-host, Manny Aguilar. How are you doing tonight, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Nick, and stuff like that. Down here, basically for good cause at the border, stuff like that. So just want to let people know that, you know, it's great to be on the show all the time as a co-host, and basically telling people to call in, follow the anti-media, and basically, to be honest with you, you know, that they can feel welcome and talk about any subject and stuff like that. Muy bienvenidos a todos nuestros hermanos y hermanas latinas, aquí con Nick Burnaby, básicamente colaborando con él, su servidor, Manny Aguilar, desde San Diego, California. Estamos sentados aquí también con el señor Jay Anderson, y todo eso. Pueden hablar al número de nosotros, o básicamente persiguiéndonos en la esta página y todo a nuestro show. So, bienvenidos y todo esto. Al rato vamos a tener a esta señorita Elena hablando de diferentes temas también. Take it away, Nick.
Thanks for the intro, man. And once again, great intro, and thanks for bringing us the Spanish perspective. We do have a lot of Spanish speakers out there listening in, and we are going to, in the future, be producing a Spanish show as well, and translating our articles into Spanish, and you know, broadening out our audience, because this is global information. I think people want to know what's going on in the world, all over the world, no matter where they're at, and we shouldn't let language get in the way. You know, and we're living in a global world. We're all connected. We all have friends. You know, I got friends in Spain. I got friends in Venezuela. I got friends in Mexico. I talk to them on a regular basis online. Mm. And we shouldn't let language get in the way of the information. And that's one of the problems that's happening right now. And like most of our content is in English, but we do get a lot of people. I mean, you can see it in the statistics on our website. I mean, we get a lot of people from a lot of different countries, France, Spain, Mexico, South America. So it's important that we, you know, allow everybody to get access to the information.
Yeah, that's correct, Nick. I will say about the anti-media in the show, it's basically a media show with no borders. That's how I would describe anti-media.
The way everything should be, right? We don't need borders. Borders are made up, dude. Anyway, we're also joined by our other special co-host, Jake Anderson. How's it going, man?
Going great, man. It's great to be here. It's great to meet Manny in person. Always wonderful to be a part of an important movement like this, which is the democratization of media, which is a powerful movement right now. Couldn't be more important. Couldn't be happier to be here, man.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, you know, back in the early revolutionary days. And of course, the American Revolution is flawed on its own. But you got to remember, back in those days, it was really the media that helped propel these ideas forward. And you know, we like to think that we're helping function in a similar role. Of course, we don't think that we should be jumping into revolutions hastily, because that can be disastrous.
Yeah.
The perfect example is what's going on in Egypt, where they had a poorly thought out revolution, and now it's just turned into a military junta. That's definitely something we don't want to do. But anyway, the role of, you know, what we're trying to do here is just keep pushing these ideas forward, solutions, criticisms, what in the hell is actually going on, and that's what we're going to go into first, because our first topic, it's everyone's favorite punching bag, Monsanto, right? Now, the first story we have here, it's locally relatable. San Diego is suing Monsanto because they poisoned the San Diego Bay.
That's correct.
With PCBs. And a PCB is a polychlorinated biphenyl. And it's some kind of chemical that they were using that doesn't really break down in the environment. So we all know about plastic and this huge problem, how plastic and plastics going down to the ocean, it's breaking up into microplastics, and it's winding up in the algae, and the fish eat the algae. And it goes all the way up the food chain, and then we end up eating plastic, right?
Right.
Now, these PCBs, which Monsanto manufactured 99% of them, they're even more damaging than plastics because they don't break down at all. Plastic eventually breaks down after hundreds of years. PCBs don't break down for like thousands of years. So what happened was they were using this chemical that Monsanto was aggressively selling to industry. And keep in mind, this company has very good connections when it comes to the military industrial complex. And so then it's no coincidence when we find out that the reason why the San Diego Bay got poisoned with PCBs was from our heavy shipbuilding industry.
Right.
And most of that is Navy shipbuilding. So basically, you know, the Navy, Monsanto working hand in hand, poison our bay. And now the city of San Diego is trying to sue Monsanto for money for the supposed cleanup of these PCBs. The only problem is that you can't really clean the PCBs out of the water. You could clean it if it's contaminated on land. Yeah, you can clean it out of the land. But the stuff that's in the water already, I mean, what are they going to do? Filter the bay out? No. I mean, all the fish that are living right now are contaminated with this stuff.
Wow.
And they're going to be for a long time. Wow. You know, so
it's nice to see they're using some litigation money on that as opposed to like an NFL team, you know. Better use of money, I would say. Better allocation of city funds. Who's spearheading it?
It is the Unified Port District.
Okay.
Along with the city of San Diego.
My boys.
Yeah. Now, keep in mind, the San Diego Unified Port District is enormous.
Right.
They've got billions in assets, and it's a huge entity on its own. But these PCBs, the reason why they're so dangerous, other than the fact that they don't break down in the environment, is they've been shown to cause damage to the immune system, reproductive system, nervous system, endocrine system, basically every function of your body. And they've studies have shown they cause cancer in animals, and theoretically, if they're causing cancer in animals, they're probably causing cancer in us.
That's true.
So this, we're talking about PCBs here, right? And these are a chemical that have been, they're not even allowed to be used anymore. They're not even manufactured anymore, right? And it's still polluting the bay to this day. Like, we're still reaping the, I guess, you know,
damages.
Monsanto's rewards, but it's all our damages that we're getting. And it doesn't seem like it's going to go away like in the next 50 years, man. I mean, we're going to have this problem until all the fish that are in there died off and all that water has been washed out and all that stuff. You know, so it's this crazy thing that haven't even been producing this stuff for years and years and years.
It's unbelievable. The equivalent would be if they were spraying asbestos up in the air. I mean, the two are you know, closely related in terms of substances that have been proven to cause cancer.
Yeah,
that's correct, because when I used to work in the fields, you know, how they basically spray those chemicals, what was inhuman is that they didn't care if we were in the fields. They would spray it even when we were in the fields. And to me, that's inhuman, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, we got this problem, and yeah, it's isolated to San Diego for the most part, as far as this lawsuit goes. What I learned in the researching of this article is that PCBs are basically polluting the whole world. The whole world is polluted by this stuff.
Wow.
Much less in, like, you know, out in the open ocean and stuff, much less to, you know, to, of an extent, but it's still there. In the bay here in San Diego, yeah, it's concentrated. So that's why it's such a big problem. But out in the ocean, other places around the world that have used these chemicals in their other industrial processes, they're you know, having the same problem with this thing. So, I mean, it's crazy, right? And then, once again, this is stuff that's years old. Now, a study came out at the end of last week that's basically saying glyphosate is carcinogenic. They say it's probable, you know, a probable carcinogen. But here's the thing. Like, we've been saying this for a long time, right? People have been complaining about Roundup and the health effects of Roundup.
Yet another conspiracy theory proved.
Yeah, exactly. And for the longest time, people were like, oh, you guys are just crazy fanatics that are anti-GMO and stuff. Like, I'm not even anti-GMO. I'm anti-spraying almost what's Agent Orange into our food supply.
Exactly.
And now, like, a lot of these, you know, people that had concerns are finally being vindicated. I mean, it's the World Health Organization. You can't really get much more mainstream than that. And they're, you know, they're saying, like, look, this stuff probably causes cancer. And here's the problem. It's one of the most widely used herbicides in the world. It's everywhere. I mean, there was a point in time when Monsanto crops were making up 60-70% of all the crops in the U.S. And a lot of those crops are Roundup ready. And then a lot of the other companies like Dow and a lot of these other agro companies, they also use glyphosate resistance in their plants, because they basically, once Monsanto's patent started running out, these guys were able to make a pretty similar product,
mm-hmm.
and they used the same pesticide, you know. And so it's not just Monsanto.
Exactly.
They're the ones getting sued by a lot of people, but it's not just them. A lot of these companies are making this glyphosate stuff.
Well, you know, Nick, one of the things I will tell you, when I started really getting more serious into what was in our food, is when that thing on Chinese food was, what is it called, MSG?
Mm-hmm.
And that was very serious to me, you know.
Yeah, there's all kinds of these additives in our food supply, and people are, like, naturally suspicious of these things, luckily, because, you know, that's the thing. It's like, I understand that a lot of people are, like, you know, thinking that the anti-GMO movement went too far, and yeah, in many ways they did, but it's really changed the conversation. And now that you have these big mainstream reports basically calling into question the safety of Roundup, And think of it, like everybody uses Roundup. People, anybody that's not really aware of aware of Monsanto, for the most part, use Roundup. Like sometimes I'll go to some of my parents, like friends will have a party or something. I go to their place and they have Roundup right there.
Wow.
You know, and the little jug of Roundup, and it's like, dude, a lot of people still use this stuff even on the small scale. And then we also talk about the industrial scale stuff. It's everywhere, man. This glyphosate is in the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. I mean, that's just a matter of, you know, and then if you're in a place where it's highly agricultural, Central Valley of California, for instance, in those areas, man, the levels of Roundup in the water is crazy. And you know what? The levels of cancer in the people are also high, you know, and it's just, we shouldn't have to wait for the World Health Organization to realize, like, yeah, man, there's something definitely wrong there.
Well, when it came to body supply, or our body, our water supply, Nick, that's why I remember that movie that, you know, was being investigated on the waters, how people were getting disease and all these things were happening to their children. And that was when they did that movie, Aaron Brockovich. I'm sure you remember that, right, Nick?
Yeah, and it's a very similar situation, man. Like, except it's so widespread that it's like, and the whole world sue Monsanto for their pollution? I mean, they should be.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's not going to happen. What I don't understand is how this company still exists.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, dude, they've taken hit after hit. I mean, what was the other one? DDT? Is that what it was called? That the other pesticide that... No, it wasn't DDT.
No, it was. I'm trying to think.
I can't remember what it was called right now. Maybe someone will call in and maybe it was DDT. Anyway, there was this other pesticide that they were using, and it was like wiping out a bunch of environmental, you know, it was affecting a bunch of species of animals and stuff. And it's like over and over, and then they're the same people behind saccharin, right?
Mm.
Which is that artificial sweetener.
Mm.
And then they're the same people behind aspartame, right? And then there was just a study that came out on aspartame a week or two ago. That was showing that the diet sodas actually cause people in their later years to gain weight or retain weight. It doesn't help you lose weight
later on, and
it's like all the purported benefits that this stuff is supposed to do, it just doesn't happen. And they even showed, I've written articles about how it's a myth that diet sodas help you prevent diabetes and stuff like that, because it doesn't. The problem about those artificial sweeteners is your body doesn't register it as a sugar. So then it makes you still crave more sugar and more sugar and more sugar.
Exactly. I think it's so dangerous, the saccharin and the diet sodas. It's almost like basically eating rat's poison. So if you're going to drink a soda, just drink a regular one.
Is the other pesticide BT?
BT, all right, the BT strain is the strain, is the, it's it, it's a plant that Monsanto makes that engineers a biological pesticide into the food.
Okay, so that's not the one you were talking about.
No, yeah, I think it was DDT actually.
Okay.
Yeah, DDT really damaged a bunch of ecosystems and stuff like that. And like, this is the same company, man. Like, how are they able to continue to survive?
Yeah.
You know, horrible event after event after event. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's something missing. Like, in all reality, in all, like, rationality, that company would have been dead 50, 40, after the whole Agent Orange scandal came about. They should have been done back then. You know, when they found out that all those veterans from Vietnam were poisoned and all those birth defects that are going on in the Vietnamese people were, you know, these are side effects these guys knew about and just said, whatever, sell it to them anyway, you know?
They're the epitome of a evil monopoly, basically.
Yeah.
And whatever you think of GMOs, you know, people refer to GMOs. I mean, it's a huge debate. The science is still up in the air on it. They say, the backers of GMOs say, we need it because it'll feed the world. Well, guess what? We could feed the world easily without GMOs. We just need to actually allocate the food.
The resource.
The problem with Monsanto is that what they do is what they've made in their agreements with their clients is that they have a clause in there that their products cannot be used in research without the company's approval, which basically makes it to where it's impossible to have independent scientific studies, because as soon as the scientists go about doing it and get permission, if they don't like it, they just squash it, you know?
That is correct.
What, is that part of their patent or what?
part of their agreement is that you cannot study their seed, any of their science, any of their patented products without their permission, which is kind of mind-boggling if you think about it. So essentially, they say it's to prevent other companies from
finding their ingredients,
trade secrets and whatnot. But in reality, what it does is it prevents impartial third parties from testing their performance and their safety and their effects on the environment.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And that's kind of why the whole march against Monsanto really started was over that Monsanto Protection Act, where they slipped a rider into this farm bill.
Right.
Where he basically said, "Hey, if the research is conducted that shows that our product caused harm, then we aren't liable for it." I mean, that's the way this company works. They don't just go about using the patent system and all that. And in my opinion, the patent system is like a form of welfare as well. it's like a form of corporate welfare.
Right.
And then they also they sue the hell out of farmers.
Oh my God! They drive them to suicide.
Yeah. I mean, there was a crazy epidemic in India where these farmers were committing suicide because they were sold these Monsanto crops and the crops like basically all failed. But back to what you were saying, I mean, if these guys were like really serious about feeding the world, you know, and that's the thing is like I'm not against GMO as a science, right? But this company Monsanto, which is in one way or another the spear tip of the whole GMO debate. If the rest of the industry were smart, they would have sunk Monsanto years ago because they just give the rest of the industry a completely bad name. Because there are there's biotech companies out there that are ethical companies, man, that are
Absolutely.
Doing the right thing.
That's correct.
But, you know, companies like Monsanto, where they're going about everything in the completely wrong way, backdoor deals, court, you know, lobbying government, bribing officials. I mean, they've been nailed for bribery in all kinds of countries.
Syngenta is bad too. Syngenta is right.
Yeah, Syngenta is like the European version, and they're very similar. You know, Syngenta has a lot more. They also own Novartis. You know, so Syngenta is a huge player in the pharmaceutical field as well.
That's right.
You know, Monsanto is based here in the U.S., so like that's our big problem. I think Syngenta is even more dangerous than Monsanto, but they're out in Europe. They're not based here, but they operate here a lot. They sell a lot of pharmaceutical drugs here and stuff. So we're gonna move on from this Monsanto stuff, and I want to go into like Ted Cruz and what's going on with Ted Cruz.
Yeah, Teddy.
This guy is
hello.
This guy is
hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. You're on the Anti-Media Radio. How's it going? What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I'm really excited. This is the first time that I've tuned into this. So I'm kind of learning your program on here a little bit. But I was just calling in because the one thing that you were talking about that I tuned in on was Monsanto. And I think a lot of that is with lots of corporations too, is that people should be aware of where they're putting their money, because a lot of these places that invest will invest in these corporations. So you could be fully against GMOs or anything like that, but if you're invested in something, you're also contributing. So I was just making that point.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this on our last show. It's really important to vote with your dollars, right?
Yes.
Great point.
Because hitting these guys in their pocketbooks is really where it counts, where it hurts them the most. You know, because they've got all those backdoor deals. It's hard to affect them economically unless it's on a massive scale.
Well, you had an article on Anti-Media about how their profits are down like 13%.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it'd be naive and ridiculous to think that part of that was not online activism.
Yeah, and then in person too. Yeah.
In person
like
too.
All
yeah.
All those.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would agree. With all the everything with the GMOs, everything I'm I look to the healthy aspects and the healing aspects, and the one thing that we have in our town, and this is something that I'm trying to get some information and find out how we can stop it, is I'd like to get the fluoride out of the water. This is something that is really dear to me, and it's like there's no reason. I'm not sure how many people are aware, but there's been lots of different information on where the first time fluoridated water showed up, and it happened to be in the Nazi prison camps. The effects of this horrible thing, which they, I think, misdirect and give misinformation about. But there's lots of different studies out there. You can, you know, check it out on the net or do whatever, but it literally keeps people from assessing their own environment. It keeps them sedated.
There's studies on fluoride, and I think that's another chemical that is kind of like glyphosate. It's kind of like Roundup, where it's like people have been saying and, you know, repeatedly claiming that it's detrimental to our health. I mean, the fact of the matter is, with fluoride, I mean, it's really like one of the only cases of mass medication, right? It's where it's like a forced medication on everybody that lives within any water district that uses fluoridation. And it's kind of weird that they choose to use that chemical when there's so many other things that like kill us and stuff. Why wouldn't they add something that would prevent heart disease into the water or something like that?
Right. There have been studies all over the place. Like, does it, you know, help with tooth decay? Does number one, fluoride goes back into the, you know, it's in the water system, and it's can affect wildlife. Fish, the whole nine yards, and it's just, I don't understand. I guess you just have to follow the money and find out where that, who's making the money with fluoride. You know, I could give a name.
Well, it's a, from what I know, it's like a discarded industrial byproduct of a manufacturing.
Aluminum industry.
Yeah, so, I mean, you could say that it's...
Check out the Mullen family, I believe. And it just, to me, it's like, for what reason? We're being poisoned, we're being sedated, everything that's going along in politics, the everything, and there really isn't any reason for it. If a great rule of thumb is, if it will hurt one person, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, there's no telling why it's being done, whether it's for money or if they're purposely trying to dumb people down. I have trouble believing even that out of our government, you know, but it's not too far-fetched to not believe. But yes, no matter which way you look at it, the fact of the matter is like, we got to figure out, you know, ways to get out of that grid. You know, because all these people have been fighting fluoride for a long time. Don't get me wrong, there's been some major victories where people have, you know, there's been towns that said, okay,
Portland,
we're not going to do it anymore. There's been a few whistleblowers that kind of stepped forward, and you know, there's been cases where people have won big victories against fluoride. I think that's the way of doing it, is fighting, you know, locally in your town. Get a couple hundred people together and just go down to the city council. That's the thing, is like, city councils and stuff, if the town is like, not too big, they're still semi-responsive to the people. You know, of course, the Congress, the Senate, the executive branch, they don't give a shit what we think. But you know, the local people, you can still embarrass them if they do something that, you know, if you get enough people to oppose them, you know, and then you can actually maybe even affect the local elections, maybe. But I think that's the way of taking on the fluoride issue, and then also, you know, so working locally, and then working locally to build, like, the people-owned, community-owned water systems, and especially like in these drought-ridden areas here in California, we really got to figure something out, because otherwise we're going to get some kind of crony deal where we're going to get like water rates at like triple the rates that we're paying now or whatever, and it's just going to be like a total raw deal, and it's going to be us that have to pay for it. So like it gives us even more of a incentive to try to figure an alternative out, because it's a big battle, and it's all about decentralizing, you know. And the water is the most, I mean, you could argue that water is the most important aspect of our lives. Water,
absolutely.
And food, and then shelter, and then, I don't know, electricity. It's a really important thing.
Life-sustaining things.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's another reason why you don't want to have it in the hands of a centralized bureaucracy. That's just a horrible
absolutely.
Idea, right? And then they go, they turn around and do things like add like a bunch of chlorine into the water. And that's, you know, I mean, when I had my aquaponics system, I couldn't even add water right into it because if I did, it would kill all the bacteria that make all the nitrogen for the plants.
Wow.
And like, so I had to like aerate the tap water for like a day before I could even pour it into my, aquaponics system. You know what I mean? So it was kind of,
it didn't work.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not even just the floor.
The chlorine
amount is dangerously high. I mean, it kills the bacteria. Think of what it does to your stomach when it goes in there, and you have all these bacteria in your body that are beneficial bacteria, and then it goes in there and kills them off, and then for them to survive, they have to develop chlorine resistance, and then it's, you know, you're just creating a big problem.
There's other aspects that comes up into our water table, our water systems, is that there are many people that are on many different medications. And whether they, A, flush them down the toilet, or they are an abundant in the waste. And a lot of the chemicals, these drugs, are coming up into the water, too. So, you know, when you look at the entire premise is we're just being poisoned all the way around.
Really?
All right. One. I think PM Beers is joining us. We got a few new callers here. Sorry to the caller from 716 to cut you off short there. We have a few scheduled guests that are joining us now. We're gonna have to go into this next story, but we appreciate your call.
Okay.
For tuning in.
Thank you.
The show is gonna go on for another 30 minutes, so feel free to keep continuing.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, from 805, is that UPM?
Hey, now, it's me and...
Hey, AJ, and I'm James.
What's up, how you doing?
Loving it, we're so glad to be free.
So, I guess I can give a little intro here. PM Beers is an activist out of Los Angeles, and AJ, you go by Anaheim James. I'm guessing you're from Anaheim, I don't know for sure.
pretty good.
But they were at the Kelly Thomas after the verdict, or not the verdict, the grand jury came out that decided not to indict the cops that killed Kelly Thomas. They were there at the protests, and they were both journalists, live streamers, and they happened to be arrested along with some other people at the protests. And they had a trial all last week, and the jury came out today, and it came out to be a hung jury. So they're not going to jail, but they do have to possibly face a retrial. But yeah, there's my little intro. Maybe you can fill us in a little more.
Well, first of all, I was never arrested in Fullerton that day or ever. So
not in Fullerton.
Never in Fullerton. I've never been arrested.
Oh,
so I was,
didn't even know you weren't arrested.
No, it was like months later. AJ hangs out in Fullerton a lot, goes to city council a lot, speaks at city council.
Plans protests and city councils. Actually had a protest planned for the day after I got arrested.
Which is very coincidental.
At the North Court, Fullerton Court, where we're at right now. And then the day before that, I was protesting in Pasadena, the reason why we were protesting was there was an autism awareness outreach there, and they sent six cops up there, two of them in uniforms, four undercover, and apprehended me up there.
With the same kidnapper van?
Yeah. They put me in a squad car, though.
Wow. I mean, so it's like they were just targeting you, more or less, it seems like. But, you know, to me, this whole case is like, it really is at the front edge of this whole new media movement, right? Because live streaming is like the new frontier. It's raw, it's uncut, it's like, we get to actually see what's going on from various different perspectives. You know, a lot of these big events, you know, there'll be various different live streamers there, and you can really get a grasp on what's going on. And it's like, we've never really had this before, you know, and it's just like,
yeah.
It's like news combined with reality TV. And it's,
yeah, the big,
real. And so
the biggest threat. Sorry, the biggest threat to them is the fact that there is no editor. There is nobody manipulating the story so the one side looks better than the other. So that's their biggest direct threat to them, then why they need to go 75 miles out of their jurisdiction to arrest me and retry us and countless, actually, it can be counted, and we will count it, a bunch of money on trying us and retrying us and seven other people and... Not to mention the two tanks that were there, the five different squads, they call them. And, you know, there's different from four different cities. It's, you know, the list will go on, and it is being tallied. So we will find out exactly how large this atrocity has cost the city of Fullerton eventually.
And also, there's other people, and there's at least five other people who were charged with the same charge for and failure to disperse. They haven't gone on trial yet. There's a possibility that they could lump us all into one big thing again and be like the Fullerton 7 or whatever. I'm losing track of all the numbers, but yeah, I mean, we're really hoping, you know, if AJ and I got a not guilty, they wouldn't be tried at all, but yeah, it's not looking quite as positive as I was this morning.
Back to why it's such a big threat too, is not only do we have no editors, but tomorrow there will be another 25 live streamers out there, rookie live streamers out there filming the, you know, inadequacy of police departments, checking them, keeping them real on real time. So that's the biggest threat to them. And I can understand that if I was a machine that liked to operate behind closed doors, I would love for the system to continue working like it is, and then finally, you know, they're getting cameras on themselves, but they're not fisheye cameras. They're very low visual. They can manipulate the on and off. You know, it's so
yeah. This whole thing about the body cameras and the cops being the solution—it's really, I mean, that's really just serves the cops. It doesn't serve the people, and we don't get that footage, and they get to use it against us, and we don't get access to it, and we don't get to decide which parts we want to see. They get to decide. So, like, the whole body camera issue, it's just kind of a way to, like, calm down the public, and it's not the answer.
Yeah, right. And then, you know, an answer would be if perhaps citizen oversight, and until they go ahead and okay that this is our citizen oversight.
Exactly. Everybody needs to live stream.
Yeah, it's important that, and everyone has the ability, anyone with a smartphone has the ability to live stream video, you know, and that's what's so awesome about this new technology is that it's pretty decentralized, you know, and there's going to be more and more live streaming sites popping up that are going to be able, where people will be able to stream. We won't have to rely on any one single site, you know, and that's, to me, that's the future. And this, to me, is like a crackdown on free speech. You know, it's a crackdown on journalism, and I read some of the excerpts from the police report. We did an article on the anti-media about this whole situation, and I mean, they were trying to say that live streamers, that YouTube, weren't able to be charged, you know, tried as journalists because they say you're biased, you know. But I mean, anyone that's in journalism that claims to be completely unbiased is lying to themselves. And lying.
Exactly.
This is the new journalism. Embedding, you know, you're basically embedded journalists. You're inside the protest, giving us the view of what's going on. You know, and so
definitely.
So it's to me, this is very Nazi-like in their crackdown against the new media. And it's not just this case in Fullerton, but also cases like Jeremy Hammond, cases like Chelsea Manning, cases like Edward Snowden. These are all journalism cases, you know, and journalism is being cracked down on right now in the U.S. because, as we were saying at the beginning of the show, if you think about any time, since the invention of the printing press,
any recent social upheaval, any recent revolution, things like that, were in a large part driven by media and underground media and decentralized media. Printing presses during the time of the American Revolutionary War, they had to have these printing presses in basements kept secret because the British were trying to find all the printing presses and destroy them. The Nazis were doing the same thing. I mean,
the bias claim is ridiculous. Like that's what, as if Fox News or any CBS or NBC, as if they don't have a bias. They're just mad because we're getting factual data from the street. That's what they're scared of more so than anything.
Exactly.
So it's like the internet. The internet is the new printing press for sure, and it brings power to the people and it brings democracy, and we've never actually had democracy. So I think, personally, I think democracy would be awesome.
I'm all in favor of democracy.
It's like every time they go after journalists like PM Beers or Anaheim James, it's like they're burning down a printing press or destroying another printing press like they used to do back in the day.
Yeah, and thank you guys, by the way.
The only people that need to tear down printing presses are tyrants. You know, if you got nothing to hide, then why are you afraid of the media?
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying? Same question they ask us about surveillance. If you've got nothing to hide, if you're doing nothing wrong, why do you care if we're surveilling you? Same question back to you. If you're not doing anything wrong, why do you care whether we're live streaming something?
Why so many secrets, right?
Yeah.
And why are you so afraid of journalists that want to expose your secrets? And this.
And why are you hiding your body cam footage? I mean, like my lawyer said in the trial, like people who are assembling with the intent to commit a crime, which is part of the 409 PC code, people who are assembling to commit a crime don't live stream.
Cory Doctorow wrote an ingenious dystopian sci-fi novel called Little Brother. And what Little Brother is about how these forms of democratized media, live streaming, social media, things like that, are our answer to Big Brother, in which we're out on the street and we're doing the same thing back to them, reflecting back to them, showing their injustices in the same way.
Yeah.
What I like to see also with the live streamers is, because of what happened to PM Beers and everybody, other live streamers, I like to see that go out in different languages, not only just Spanish, but other languages, so that the whole world can understand what's happening in live streamers here in the United States and anywhere else.
Yeah.
Hey, I said that.
Multiple languages, is that what you said?
It's a worldwide war against journalism. It's not just here in the U.S. It's going on in Europe, in the U.K. I mean, U.K. has already got a pretty horrible freedom of speech set up over there.
Yeah,
here is kind of soft, and now they're really trying to undermine it and stuff. And that's why we got to fight for cases like what's going on in Fullerton, because this is, you know, we got to defend the new media.
Yeah. Thank you guys, honestly.
For real, yeah. I mean, this is
a
huge service that you're providing for us and everybody out there around the world that watches all of your live streams. And it's journalism activism. You know?
Absolutely.
And it's needed. And we gotta shed light on this machine.
So gracias to PM Beers and the other live streamer out there, okay?
All right. My only regret is that I have but one live stream to lose for this country.
So we're joined now by our co-host, D.B. Schwartz, and he's doing some schooling right now, so he's running a little late for the rest of the month.
I tried, man, but the teacher wanted to keep talking after we were way done, so, you know.
So we have PM Beers and Anaheim James on the call. We also have Manny and Jake in the studio here. Did you have anything to add to what's going on here?
Yeah, let's talk about the ICBM that just took off from California, Nick.
Yeah, I just saw a headline there, but what was it? A big missile test, or what are you talking about?
Well, once China pretty much put down the hammer and said they're not going to buy any more treasury bonds, basically putting us into a depression, we said, fine, but this is what we can do, and our military still exists, so come try to get some, I guess. I have no clue. But it's saber-rattling to the nuclear extreme when you launch an unarmed ICBM that can hit anywhere on the globe in 30 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, and it kind of falls right in the line with what's going on here with all this foreign policy, Ukraine. I saw that they're getting ready to finally send the, well, I mean, they've covertly been sending arms to Ukraine all along, but now they're going to be sending arms out in the open now, in the very near future to Ukraine. We've already got consultants out there, quote-unquote consultants, you know, we all know what that means, teaching these guys the tactics that they need to use and stuff. And it's turning into a full-blown proxy war in Ukraine, very similar to what's going on in Syria. So we can expect probably a similar situation, and hopefully not, because that would really suck. Because there's already been, what, 50,000 Ukrainian deaths?
Hey, Nick, who do you think's basically bankrolling the entire Ukrainian army right now and doing it covertly and basically bringing in all the Academy and Blackwater guys? Your favorite, Monsanto. I'm not even kidding you.
What?
Oh, wow.
No way. That's crazy. But believable.
They want the wheat market cornered down there, so they'll do anything because the Ukraine supplies all of Europe pretty much with all their wheat.
Wow.
Yeah, man. So we got like a lot more of this positioning, and it just keeps ratcheting up. And then now you got a guy like Ted Cruz declaring his candidacy and stuff. So you got like a guy like Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio. Of course, you got to throw Rand Paul in there. But none of these people are going to seriously address what's going on. In fact, chances are that the Senate, and I hate to predict stuff because unfortunately a lot of times it comes true. But we talked about this a while back about Nixon, about the Logan Act, and how the whole Republican Senate broke the Logan Act or whatever. And it all goes hand in hand with this. All these proxy wars going on, because Iran is probably the next front line for the next proxy war, right? And they're basically just hyping it up, right? Continuing this war machine to keep building. And there was a leaked call, right? This was on Glenn Greenwald's on The Intercept, and there was a call that came out, and it was with the executives of Lockheed Martin. And they were basically saying, yeah, we're not too worried about the whole Iranian deal. Because like someone on the call, you know, an investor, asked one of the executives, like, hey, are you worried about losing profits because of the Iranian peace agreement? And they're like, we're not too worried about Iran because there's plenty of other, you know, there's plenty of instability in the Middle East. That's where our growth market is at. I mean, this is crazy, man. Like, you're talking about companies projecting profits and like looking at war and instability as a positive thing. And that's what struck me so hard about this. It's like, man, these guys really just don't give a shit. It's not about terrorism. It's not about protecting our freedoms, because I mean, obviously a lot of our freedoms are eroding. Look, we got two journalists on the line that are facing up to 6 months in jail for live streaming. You know, it's not about the freedoms anymore. I mean, we got a militarized police force on the streets and stuff. It's like, okay, that's a lot. So
they've been bankrolling both sides of war.
It's money. And like these proxy wars, Russia's got its own military-industrial complex, man. They got a big one.
It's totally different too. They were super far ahead in germ warfare, and like so they've been considered invasion-proof even to this day because they'll just unleash shit they've had since the 40s. I mean, they went a totally different technological branch, if you will.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is that if we keep ratcheting up these tensions, these proxy wars keep building. And yeah, okay, these guys are just trying to make money. They don't give a damn about 200,000 dead Syrians. They don't give a damn about 50,000 dead Ukrainians. They don't care about 20,000 dead Libyans. Okay, but it's like, the worst part of it all is that not only is it like these just corporations going out there profiting off of all this shit, their only customers are governments. Like Lockheed Martin only sells to governments, basically, for the most part. They might sell a little bit to like SpaceX or whatever, but for the most part, they're selling Hellfire missiles to governments all around the world. That's their marketplace.
Didn't they create a $2 trillion plane that still can't fly?
Yeah, that jet flew like...
The F-35.
They got it to fly one mission, and it cost like $28 million to fly one bombing mission, and then it got like some kind of software virus, and it couldn't fly again.
think how many damn schools that could have built.
Yeah, I mean, and then here's the thing. Here's the point that I'm getting down to here. Sure, these assholes are doing it for profit. They're just trying to make money and all that. But it's us that's paying for it.
And what does that do to our defense capabilities? Honestly, if they're doing it for a profit, look at how everything that's done for a profit just goes to the lowest bidder and becomes crappier and crappier in the means of more profit.
Yeah, man. It's like the Walmart of foreign policy going on.
The Walmart of nuclear missiles.
Yeah, and it's like...
the free market of war.
They're finally admitting that Israel has nukes and stuff, and they're like, okay, yeah, but we still can't let Iran have them and stuff, even though they're signed into the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Act. And it's like, how do we have the audacity to go in there and tell them, like, hey, we got to make sure you're not trying to have any nukes, but, you know, we're sitting on an arsenal of several tens of thousands of them, you know what I mean? So it's very much another case of total hypocrisy. I think Patty and AJ had to drop. We have someone from 760. I don't know if they're just listening in or if they're...
Is it 405?
Yeah. It's a live stream account. Never mind. Thanks for live streaming. That's Michael, right?
Yeah, he might be about to get arrested, so thanks for joining in.
Yeah, I mean, you never know. Now that they're trying to persecute all these live streamers, hopefully they're not going to be knocking at your door for live streaming this radio show.
Read, little brother.
Don't worry, we're not copyrighted. All of our content is Creative Commons. Anyone that wants to take this radio show and post it on YouTube, it's already on YouTube. If you want to find it, feel free to look it back up. If you missed the beginning, you can go back on YouTube and find us, or you can download the video and repost it. I don't care.
Yeah. I think Fox News is going
to. And a shout out to Michael Buell. That I'm glad that he's okay.
Yeah, this is me. The accident. Rock.
Oh, you finally spoke. How's it going, man?
Hey, Nick, it goes okay. It goes okay. It's just always a pleasure to listen, and you know, Manny's there, and just my solidarity and working on the live streaming recording end of this to get it perfect. Off deck. Appreciation.
Well, thank you, and I mean, it's a battle that we're in, right? We're in the war for the new media. Things are looking pretty positive. I mean, you know, we got to, you know, another thing I want to talk about here, I guess.
Nick, did you talk about Jade Helm at all or no?
No, who's that?
Operation Jade Helm actually taking place in most of the Southwest, a big DHS exercise that's going to bring about 15,000, although it may be double that, personnel down there. And nobody really knows why or what they're doing and what they're setting up. They're setting up bases. And there's been chatter, which is always just chatter because you can never confirm anything at all on the internet. But supposedly, like, Chinese armed forces are supposedly massing in Mexico. So I have no idea, man. I swear, like, they're going to try to pull something because if the economy goes south, and this is this exercise to deter them or kind of show them what's up, even if our economy does go down and we have problems for a couple weeks, then we can still fight.
Are you supposing this is a false flag?
Dude, it's so many different levels right now because no one knows what's going to happen first. Are we going to be attacked? Are we going to attack somebody? Or is the economy just going to kind of bottom out? Nobody really knows. But this exercise is massive. Massive.
I saw the documents, actually, on that exercise you're talking about. I didn't know they had a code name for it yet. But
Jade Helm, man. Why Jade? Why? I mean, stopping. You get it, man? Like, it's got so many different levels to it.
Yeah, anyone out there can look up the documents. It's a planned military exercise that's going on. And people were tripping out because some people were saying that it violates the Posse Comitatus Act and all that stuff.
Not within 100 miles of the border, I guess.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's like that 100-mile constitution free zone that people have talked about before, and that's real. That's why here in San Diego, like, I literally last night I went up to go visit my dad in Riverside, and that is the next county northeast of San Diego, right? And we drove up there, and they got the checkpoint open, man. Like, when we drove through, the checkpoint was closed.
Better get up north.
Yeah, and so, like, it is within 100 miles of the border, and they do have these checkpoints on the – we're talking about on the main freeway. We're talking about the 15. The 15 goes from Southern California to Las Vegas all the way up through Salt Lake City and, like, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the major freeways in the country.
And they got start, checkpoints set up on there.
Start
San Diego.
Start thinking about moving somewhere you can get water easily, dude. And I'm not really trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but SoCal's like literally the worst place, right?
Yeah, I mean, the NASA study, I mean, you're not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, NASA came out with a saying that San Diego, I mean, Southern California, all this drought affected area is pretty much done. Within a year, we're out of water.
Yep.
And, you know, and I still see people, like, the other day I was over by my brother's apartments, and I see that their sprinkler system is, like, literally just throwing water out on the ground. Like, it's not even watering anything. It was just, like, literally throwing water, like, out of the pipe. And it's just wasting water. And it's like, man, these guys really aren't taking it seriously. I mean, Southern California is built on a desert, man. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this a couple shows back. How many people are there? How many people are in Southern California? Between San Diego,
20 million.
Between San Diego, Riverside, and Los Angeles counties, there's at least 20 million people. Right?
20 million.
And then the Bay Area has 10 million people, but they're not as affected by the drought as we are down here.
Oh.
We're talking about three quarters of the state, two thirds, three quarters, that are basically at the wheel of bureaucrats that are going to try to get us some water.
Nick,
and that's the most dangerous aspect of this whole thing.
Nick, tell me how the city of San Diego is going to be able to ensure water quality when they just sued Monsanto for chemicals in the bay, and they're going to go to a desalinization plant. Never mind whatever the hell Fukushima is still leaking out there. I mean, you're going to see cancer rates soar if they don't, like, have some civilian way to ensure that the water quality standards are good enough to drink, because people are going to drink the tap water.
It's, in many ways, it's just like the police accountability movement. It's civilian oversight, man. And it's, are we going to have someone that's going to overlook and make sure that this stuff is up to par? Because think about it. Here in San Diego, I mean, just like you said, our whole bay is polluted by PCBs. They just shut down our nuclear plant that's up there by the checkpoint that I'm talking about. It's right there on the border between San Diego County and Orange County. It's yeah. In San Diego County, though. And that's where the nuclear plant was, which was on the coast of the largest marine base in the country.
San Onofre.
San Onofre, Camp Pendleton. Camp Pendleton's the largest marine base in the country. It's right here on the north end of San Diego as well. You know, San Diego has a huge military presence. But, you know, they just shut down that reactor because it was leaking. Leaking radioactivity, man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we got a polluted bay. We got our own reactor that's right there. You know where they're building the desalination plant? And it's set to go online in 2016. It's right there in Carlsbad, man. That's only about 10 miles south of that nuclear plant. That's where the desalination plant is. And then what DV was saying, Fukushima radiation, that's still an issue. San Diego's been tested pretty low. San Diego doesn't have as much as certain places like up in Oregon and Seattle coastline, there's a higher level
of radiation. But drinking, it's different than absorbing it from the background. A lot of people are going, well, the background radiation may be higher. True, but you're drinking it in the water. It's getting into your internal organs. And over 5 or 10 years, that's cancerous.
Yeah, so it's a prospect that can be dangerous. That's why we have to get a handle over the top of our water, man. And it's... like the other caller was mentioning about the fluoride, I mean, there's just so many concerns. The water is the vehicle that carries all the pests, like the glyphosate. It carries the atrazine, which is the one that causes breast cancer. You know, Syngenta.
Yeah.
Right? And Syngenta owns Novartis. Syngenta makes a pesticide called atrazine, pollutes 70% of the groundwater in the U.S., causes breast cancer, right? Novartis, their pharmaceutical company, makes the drug to treat the breast cancer that's caused by their pesticide. I mean,
we're a corporatocracy.
We gotta take
these shitheads down. It's...
Water Day was just on Sunday, International Water Day. We gotta take it back. Can't just let our water slide. Electricity. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.